Okay, I'm unmuting. Oh, Carol's grinding something. But let's see. Unmute.
All participants are now unmuted.
We made all the sound vibrations with language.
Yes.
Who would like to speak? Yes.
Maybe you would like to play the DFR recording?
I will play that in about 20 minutes, but I got to see what people who won't be in the Zappa, what they have to say now. All right? That is coming up. Madeline just reported that she wants to hear something. What do you want to hear, Madeline? All lines are open. Anybody can speak until coordination screws up.
Bob, hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, Corbin, you like that, Frank?
Oh, that was excellent. Chung is, for you that don't know, that was two different versions of Chung's Revenge and some really great soloing. I mean, technically what's being done is just, it's really amazing. But just the whole riff part doesn't even have to be on an academic level. Just the tactility of it. So, yeah, those were interesting. I've heard them before, the first one, and, yeah, but he was using what's known as whole tone scales, symmetric diminished scales. I mean, just some really intense musical jargon for the uninitiated.
Okay, does that inspire you to say anything, Roxy? What Corbin says?
Yes, because it's great when you can see deeper, like Paulina Liberos was talking about the quantum hearing, and she was a big influence in Frank Zappa, because as a musician, you can not only like what he's doing, but you can see the complexity of the things that are going on, all these processes going on parallel at
the
same time. And it's like you have these melodies, the guitar, the singing. You also have the mass of the instrumentation, the orchestra. And
then you have the editing.
The rhythmic. Yeah, the rhythmic and then all the studio process of the music. And it's amazing what's going on. It's really amazing.
What do you think of it, Madeline? I think Madeline just came in. Hey, anything to say about Zappa, Madeline?
No, I don't. There.
Nothing. Do you like Frank?
I do. Yes, I like some of the music more than others.
Yeah.
But I think my appreciation is growing.
Right, right. Once
it's kind of an acquired.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Acquired taste. If you don't get it instinctively, it depends on which part of Frank you hear. There's such a variety. You never know what you're going to like and not like. He's got something for everybody there. So,
but the thing with Frank Zappa, he was a great pedagogue, and he had all this great variety of music to catch different types of audience, and he was doing a very complex type of sound ecology.
Yeah.
That evolved with the
communication ecology. He was doing a communication ecology, studying the effects of all kinds of media. Of the baby boomer generation, he was the closest to McLuhan.
Your voice sounds distorted, like
like that's his phone.
Adding a filter to your voice.
Right. No, that's, I think, this particular phone. We've had a bit of problems, so I'm going to go on to the other phone.
Bob, you sound like a frog.
Your mouth is now an oscillator. It may mean that it can generate any rhythm. Just sit there and go, Just jog.
Well, we were doing Toads of the Short Forest. We were talking about that, which are isotopes, one of Zappa's songs. So, Madeline, what did you want to hear before you go to bed? Conked out already?
Just whatever you're going to do.
Well, we're
going to
be doing Zap in a few minutes. We start Zap.
Great.
Did you hear the three stages of ascension? I just found that the other day. You want me to replay that? Did you hear that?
Was that, was that mashup thing with you and some other music underneath it?
No, that's Dave Neufeld.
That was cool.
Yeah, that's Bosmini Call G 1992. That's the famous number one first to Bosmini Call G.
Yeah, for first production, low budget production, nothing thought.
Yes.
I think I did hear the stages of ascension.
Okay, I'm going to play it again because I got to go on the other phone. So just to fill in, I'll play this.
Okay.
This process of ascension is a three-part process. The first part is you got to get out of your damn mind. And that's what we've been talking about since itch. Now we're up to scratch. And you get that and you ease through that process. Okay. Great. Now the second portion of the program is the bread of life and living water. Okay. Now what you're engaging in drop form is you might call it the bread of water. maybe. But it's the most basic tiered level, okay? And these drops, then, are absolutely having a shift and a change in your meat sack body. Okay, that's the second portion of the program. That's the by-default process, that you take an action for your cells to respond, okay? No problem. Now, the third portion of the program is when you start embracing this process and start allowing these changes to take hold in your meat sack body. And then you'll get just as pretty as you can be, or as pretty as you want to be, or whatever that is. I mean, it keeps changing, so we don't want to add a definition to it. You know, we can't get you a little more buffed or a little more strong or a little more limber. We don't know what you want because it keeps changing. Well, not really, but we're being easy with the process. But this three-part process, now you're well on your beginning step two. So we would say this is, the, by definition for you, the end of the beginning.
Okay.
Then what happens is, as a marvelous creator, you'll start getting more used to, and we've had this, we did the little synoptic version, you know, a session or so ago, about how fucking cool your world really is, and the things that you're whining and bitching about now are so trivial compared to where you began. See, but it didn't happen overnight, Matthew. It was an ongoing process. And the contrast that you have now to you is just as contrasting as when you were deciding whether or not to live or die one more day. Okay? Contrast is contrast. It makes no difference. I mean, some people have a tantrum if they run out of chocolate. And they scream and cry and wail and gnash their teeth and that stuff. And then some people don't have
right
a house and... Yeah, some people have real, real, real what you call issues, and they take it in stride. You see, but see, contrast is contrast. Big or small, it's up to you.
All right.
Okay, now, that being said, so now you're starting to see some of the benefits and the shifts and the changes of your body. Now, you got to ask the question so we can tell you the next thing.
Okay, I wanted to ask you about, I brought it up last time, I wanted to ask you, so this guy named Trivedi, that, you know, he does these blessings and he has all these, he has over 4,000 scientific studies on how...
If it requires blessings, then soon shall come curses.
Okay. So it basically, but how is it that they're observing... like DNA changes.
Degree of separation, and that part's leaving as well. When it finally, very quickly for you especially, these degrees of separations have got to go. It'll just fuck with you till your head or your rectum will become sore. It will become sore. Do separate yourself from using the degrees of separation. And if you play with that just a little bit, then all of a sudden your whole vernacular will change and your questions will become so precise that you'll actually get answers rather than these nebulous who, what, when, where, how, and why.
Okay.
To be clear.
Okay, let's see if my voice... No, I'm unmuted.
Yeah. Now it's good.
Is my voice clear or still froggy tone? How's my voice now?
Still froggy tone, normal. But clear.
It's still
no,
froggy
sounds
tone.
Normal.
No,
okay, I'm
good.
Joking.
I had to go on the other phone. Okay, I just thought of something. Eric McClune has a new book. I'm filling in until we get to the top of the hour, another 15 minutes. Eric McClune has a new book called The Sensus Communis, Synesthesia and the Soul. And he, in the appendix, he lays out the effects of the discarnate on the chemical body. And I've used this sort of his inventory or template. I've used it for 30 years. I mean, it comes, if you understand McClune, you will come up with what Eric's saying here. And Eric just wrote this, but, you know, it's something you could have said 30, 40 years ago if you understood the electric body. But it's a good inventory of the vast range of changes in society that are confusing people. And you can lump it into this effect of the discarnate state, the electrified state, the beginning of the TV landscape in the 20s, and all the chemical body revolutions that came out are inventoried here, came out since 67. So hopefully no one will make any noise, not 67, since the 20s, since radio. And I won't mute everybody so people can interact, comment. Maybe you have something to say about this, Madeline? There's a lot of the effects that you go through. I think about it when I'm thinking McLuhan, not all the time, but thinking McLuhan. And so this is what Eric says. He calls this the effects of the discarnate, what we're calling the TV body and chip body. But those are later phenomena. During the analog media, first two-thirds of the 20th century, it was electric landscapes. So it was a discarnate state. The chemical body was usurped, possessed by a weird electrical environment. So Eric starts off saying, women's lib and the outlawing of discrimination of all sorts based on body. So this political correctness that came in, and then people saying, you're discriminating against me because of my body characteristics. This is a large... Well, these are symptoms of the discarnate. So he says women's lib and the outlawing of discrimination. You can't be categorizing people in the body, chemical body style, as one did for most of humanity's history as we know it. So outlawing of discrimination of all sorts based on the body. And he has height, weight, shape or proportions, ageism in brackets, gender or sexism, and color, racism. So all these normal chemical body tensions before the 20th century are listed here. Height, weight, shape or proportions, age, gender, and color. So then what are the effects? New sexual freedom. Legitimization of same-sex parentage, in quotes, parentage of families. Legitimization of same-sex marriage. Legitimization of and social tolerance of prostitution. Legitimization of lesbianism and homosexuality as merely lifestyle choices, choices in quotes. Destruction of childhood. Disappearance of adulthood. Disappearance of childhood in brackets, themes from Neil Postman and Wyndham Lewis. Language of the body is muted. Body rendered as programmable art form. So if the chemical body is rendered as programmable art form, that leads to tattoos and piercings, to drugs, and then a sub-inventory in drugs, which is what Carolyn had to deal with, mood-changing, uppers, downers, psychopharmaceuticals like LSD, pot, XTC, cocaine, heroin, mushrooms, mescaline, etc., weight reduction, Viagra, etc., contraceptives, abortifacients. Then, in another programmable art form for the body is surgery. Then Eric lists liposuction, reshaping, listing as a subset breast enlargement and breast reduction, replacement of organs using other people's organs, animals' organs or prosthetic limbs or other organs, sex change operations, hedonism rampant, body is for kicks, in brackets recreational. Sex reduced to aesthetics and athletics only. No sacramentality, no responsibility. That's Eric speaking from his Catholic point of view. Sex toys and stimulants, abortion as a right or a choice, abortion socially and legally accepted. So he lists all that, which is most of the mini revolutions in the 20th century, at least since World War II. So then he says, virtually everything in the last group is the subject of constant propaganda even still. And I think he means, well, I don't know if it means abortion socially, legally accepted, or under surgery. Surgery seems to be, no. Sex reduced to aesthetics and athletics only. Sex toys and stimulants, abortion as a right. I think that's what he's saying is the last group. So virtually everything in the last group is the subject of constant propaganda, you know, the culture wars, even still. And he writes this in 2015. In general, there's a pretty consistent pattern to the technological and chemical reformation of the body, in brackets, experience and perception, and its relation to the sensus communis, which is Latin for the tactile interplay of the senses, its relation to the sensus communis and to the soul. This new situation results in a new culture of the body, the secularization of the body. What more dramatic evidence of this new sense of the body can one cite than the explosion of and legitimization and toleration, if not acceptance, of pornography? Note the close relation between the popularity of porn and the refusal to mature. The close relation between the popularity of porn and the refusal to mature. Then a sub-sentence, he says, porn serves as an accessory for oldsters trapped in prepubescence. Porn serves as an accessory for oldsters trapped in prepubescence. Then he says, it does perpetuate that adolescent angst. Then he says, in quotes, no individual identity, unquotes, means the experience of private responsibility has been undermined, diminishing the personal perceived need for penance. We need no fault sin, damn it. So we've made a beginning, Eric says, with no fault divorce and no fault auto insurance. Then he quotes, he says, Cardinal Ratzinger, back in the 80s, I think he did the Ratzinger Report, and then he became the penultimate pope, the pope before the present one. In that Ratzinger Report, Cardinal Ratzinger expanded on his observation that motherhood and sexuality have been wrenched apart with disastrous results. In his view, we will atone already in our day for the, quote, consequences of a sexuality which is no longer linked to motherhood and to procreation, to the chemical body. It logically follows from this that every form of sexuality is equivalent and therefore of equal worth, unquotes. So then Ratzinger goes on, it is certainly not a matter of establishing or recommending a retrograde moralism. He's saying he's not doing that as a Catholic, but one of lucidly drawing the consequences from the premises. It is, in fact, logical that pleasure, the libido of the individual, becomes the only possible reference of sex. No longer having an objective reason to justify it, sex seeks the subjective reason in the gratification of the desire, in the most satisfying, quote satisfying, in the most satisfying answer for the individual, to the instincts no longer subject to rational restraints. Everyone is free to give to his personal libido the content considered suitable for himself, unquote. And he continues, hence, it naturally follows that all forms of sexual gratification are transformed into the rights of the individual, rights in quotes. Thus, to cite an especially current example, homosexuality becomes an inalienable right. In brackets, given the aforementioned premises, how can one deny it, says Ratzinger. End of bracket. On the contrary, its full recognition appears to be an aspect of human liberation, unquote. So then Eric says, there are, however, other consequences of, quote, this uprooting of the human person in the depth of his nature, quoting Ratzinger. Ratzinger then elaborates, Eric says, quote, fecundity separated from Mary's based on a lifelong fidelity turns from being a blessing, in italics blessing, as it was understood in every culture, into its opposite. That is to say, a threat to the free development of the individual's right to happiness. That's in quotes, individual's right to happiness. Thus, abortion, institutionalized, free, and socially guaranteed, becomes another right. Right, in quotes. Another form of liberation, in quotes. So, Eric then has some notes. He says, these remarks date from 1985, just before the explosion of pornography on the Internet. See also Appendix 8 below on artificial intelligence initiatives. So he goes into that. So the perspective of the electric environment altering the chemical body gives a support for the Catholic, Roman Catholic view. But Eric would say, and McLuhan used to say, that the Pope didn't know about this. He just was torn with conscience of how the old values were being ignored and left the Catholic Church with a problem, at least for its relation to the 21st century. But Eric's trying to say the electric discarnate state caused all these issues. So, anybody have a comment on that?
Yes, it's quite amazing because this concept of sensus communis, what we will call the common sense, but it's not exactly that. It's like, how is this thing created? I think Vico took this concept from the Greeks, and he says the sensus communis is created with the institutions and language, and it's created by the conversation of the whole society. The, what they choose to engage becomes like the spread of the whole. And I can relate it to what I would like to talk about in the Zappa thing, because I see now that the speech is a type of making music. And in the video we saw with Pierre Schaeffer and Marshall McLuhan, McLuhan says, conversation is only possible in the acoustic space. So
dialogue. Doesn't it say dialogue is possible? Only dialogue is possible?
Dialogue. Sorry. It's interesting how we engage. It's like a two-way. What we think is our opinion or knowing, and the sensus communis that is filtering or is influencing what we know, what we think, that comes from the environment. And so,
You just referenced the Pierre Schaeffer and Marshall McLuhan dialogue, which, if you can find it, as Schaeffer, Pierre Schaeffer, is pretty amazing. Watching McLuhan in Paris with Derek de Kirchhoff beside him as they interview or dialogue with someone who was taught to Roxy in Berlin. The text of Pierre Schaeffer was a big deal in, I guess, electronic composition courses and curriculum. And Roxy was quite amazed that she thought before she saw this dialogue that Pierre understood McLuhan, but it turns out he didn't understand anything. So Roxy's trying to adjust to that, which then creates new ideas in Roxy in trying to figure that out. But that's what she's referring to when she says Schaeffer and McLuhan. So look up that YouTube. You can go to the one, what's it called? Marsh McLuhan Speaks. His daughter's put together a new website, marshmcluhanspeaks.com. And all kinds of interviews and dialogues and lectures by McLuhan with the transcription of it as well, that on the side of the actual video. And it's pretty detailed if you want to do that. Now, does anybody want to bring up anything else before we go into Zappa?
No.
Yuri says no. Are you saying no, Yuri?
Yes, but we couldn't leave. We can link with this conversation very good because it's very interesting how the sensus communis is the environment, what we think, the whole, like now it will be the Android meme is saying.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and how it Eric McLuhan is talking about how the electric environment is influencing your choices in
right.
all
this
areas.
Huge, all the thing he lists are major medical breakthroughs in medicine. Oh, he lists most of the controversial or alternative options that people in the 19th century would be shocked if they lived in the 20th century to see what unfolded. And Eric is saying if we turned off the electric environment, none of these impulses would happen. Everybody would be back to the chemical world, fascist kind of tribalism, maybe some literacy if they had the printing press. And so it's interesting looking at the whole 20th century as an effect of a medium, of an electric environment. And many people would say that's technological fetishism, that's emphasizing technological determinism, but it may not be a 100% factor in everything. I think Ayn wouldn't say it's 100%, but it makes a big chunk of why this environment is different, why society is different today. Now, what maybe we ran the course with the Android meme, you know, hijacking the effects of the electric environment on the chemical body and just doing it to itself and its parts. And the chemical body is like a ghetto now, just lolling about.